From, or I know it looks like you're mobile. Where are you guys from? Where are you out of?
We're all around, right? I was raised in Fort Collins, but it's before I knew Jesus, right? Since I am, we just kind of.
So you guys are just full time travelers?
Pretty.
Not like, based out of anywhere?
Right. It would be like, yeah, semi nomadic, right? We go a certain place if we feel leading to stay and, you know, do work there, like, then we'll stay and do work there.
Oh, I see.
Yep.
Yep. So do you have a larger group somewhere? Is this just you or?
Yeah, we belong to a bigger body.
What is that? What's the name of it? Or is there a name?
No name.
Where are you out of?
Christianity. Since this is like semi-nomadic.
I don't see many guys in tunics, so I'm curious.
Yes, I understand, right?
I'm curious.
That's what we saw too.
They're either true followers of Messiah or they're cults. Sorry, yes. Got to say it that way. I mean, that's just how it is. You know,
I know it.
So I saw you here and you guys were talking. Didn't want to interrupt your conversation there. So what is it? Let me give you one of my gospel cards.
Thanks.
What is it? What is that you guys preach? What you heard me preaching? What is it that you preach?
Yes,
I see on your bikes. What is your purpose in life? I don't mean to be offensive, but it sounds like something Rick Warren would ask someone.
Yeah, not Rick Warren. Okay, so like you can say
that's the name of his book, Purpose Driven Life, right?
I'm familiar with the book.
Yeah,
yes, that's not our gospel, right? We do believe, like we would say, that the Sermon on the Mount would be like in essence what we would try to like base our lives on.
Are you Anabaptist types?
I guess you could call.
You would call yourself Anabaptist?
No.
Oh, but your types.
I would say we share a lot of convictions with the Anabaptists. We don't have farms. We don't own any lands or houses.
Yeah.
According to the
scriptures. You guys teach common purse? Is that how you follow?
As much as we can as Americans, right? You know, okay. You don't want to push it on them because then all of a sudden you get like, you know, like.
So you don't believe that's mandated? That's just an option in scripture?
No, we try to like practice it. We have a standard there. We try to practice it.
Uh-huh.
But like when you got a new member, you just want to be, I want to gently let the Spirit bring them to that point, and rather than force it to them, you know, like if they have the Holy Ghost, it's going to teach them, and then as they grow, then they're going to want, they're going to desire that as they see it in the scriptures, rather than me just say, do this, right? Certain things I do have to say.
Yeah,
this.
I was just going to say. So yes. I'm interested. So you say that. So
yes.
I always hear men say that.
Yes,
that we have to be careful. Like with new believers, to not tell them what the doctrines and the teachings and instruction are and let them come to it. But that really goes counter to the words of Messiah, Jesus,
yes.
When he says in Matthew 28:20, teaching them to obey everything he's commanded.
Yes.
So I take a harder line on the truth of God. And I say, if it's in scripture and if Messiah taught it and if Paul, who was picked by Messiah, taught it and all the disciples taught it, then a new convert isn't really a new convert unless he's keeping what Messiah taught. And I don't believe, call me wrong, whatever, you have to show me in scripture, people will say to me often, you're not loving and long-suffering enough. And I will say to them, who was the loving and the long-suffering given to? And if you look in scripture, the loving and long-suffering is always given to saints striving in the word. Yes, you said it. If someone's a new believer and he goes, I don't understand tunics. You don't just say, slap it on, get up and do it. You say, listen, study this.
Yes.
We're going to teach it to you.
You
do need to come to this commandment. But there's a short window of time to where then he needs to be held responsible.
Yes.
And then it must be done. And otherwise, what we do is we have American churchianity where everybody's doing their own thing.
Yes.
There's a bunch of different flavors.
Yes.
And here's the saying I hear all the time. Ready?
Right.
And I say to the scriptures, does the scriptures give you the right to feel personal conviction? Or should your personal convictions always match the scripture? Holy Spirit always matches holy word. So I would take a little harder line in teaching people to obey the doctrines and move them along. Because if someone's born of God, you said it, they're going to want to obey and not walk in sin. Because then they're a bad witness, right? They're keeping sin. And if they die in their sin, what's going to happen to them? Right. I mean, you don't believe once saved, always saved.
Absolutely.
I'm assuming that. So if I keep willful sin and I die holding on to that willful sin, saying I'm not ready to leave it. I'm not cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 10:26. Right. So I think it's important because taking that route.
I guess when I was saying that, I was like, here's a better way for me to establish. Like maybe I wasn't clear enough. But I do believe in being in gentle with some people as they come.
Sure,
to the
new believers.
I would say that there's certain doctrines that I would call like essential, right? And then there's some that are peripheral,
What would those be? See, people say that to me that no one's ever in Scripture. Can you explain to me what's essential and what's not essential?
Yes.
As far as doctrine.
Yes.
Not liberty issues.
Yes.
You don't have to eat pork or you can't eat pork.
Right.
So that's a liberty. I'm talking about doctrine. What would you say? You know, the Bible goes all the way from don't commit adultery, which is pretty heinous, or murder, to don't coarse jest and talk vulgar.
Yes.
So would you say both of those are essential?
Yes.
Okay. So what in between isn't essential?
I would say like you said with a certain person in their modest apparel, right? Like as long as it's modest, I'm not gonna like.
What does modest mean?
What do you mean by essential?
What does modest mean?
What do you mean by essential?
He brought up essential.
Modest and coverings. Yeah. They're clothing.
But you guys use like a King James Bible?
Yes.
Okay. So I use King James, New King James. I don't hold to it. I'm not a King James only guy. But do you look at the Greek and the Hebrew as well?
Yes.
Okay, very important. Let's go there. 1 Timothy 2:9, modesty for women. It's talking about women.
Yes.
And it says, and I get this from modern pastors, because we stand out here, we stand in front of religious places, we go to worldly events, we go all over. So I get this.
How many are we?
Well, my wife and I travel together, and then we know other saints.
Okay. Are they a part of your fellowship?
I travel.
Would you call them a part of your church?
Oh, yeah. We know we have saints scattered all over the world that we gather with. Some of them we can't see face-to-face, so we gather online.
Okay.
And the ones we can see face-to-face, we gather. But I'm a full-time preacher. I travel, and I teach on my website. I have a whole ton of articles.
So what do you mean by essential?
Oh, hold on. So 1 Timothy 2:9, you use the word modest. That's terrible translation. Because how old are you?
41.
Okay, I got you beat. I'm 58. In your lifetime, you're much younger. You have seen modesty change, haven't you?
Yes.
Okay, so modesty is one of these things. It's a great, it's like this. At the turn of the century, do you know what pornography was in the culture? 1900, turn of the 1900s. You know what pornography was considered?
When they showed their ankle.
Very good. Actually, I believe that most people say it was like the calf. Yeah.
Yeah.
When a woman showed her calf. So a woman was modest back then if she covered her calf up. Now, could we say women are modest if they covered their, you know? Yeah, so modest is a terrible word. If you go to the Greek and you look it up, it says women should dress themselves in modest apparel. Terrible translation. It means in Greek, neat and orderly robes. That's what it says. Apparel means robe, catastole. And men wear tunic, robe-like garments. Women wear catastole. Usually it's longer. Okay? And so we must go deeper on those Greek and Hebrew words, because the King James is a good translation, but it fails in places. Another place is the word church. Church in America is a religious organization, a building, this ecclesia. You probably know about it.
So why does any of that even matter? You know, who cares what ecclesia means why does that matter? When you say what's essential,
I'll tell you what, I came to talk to these guys. When I'm done talking to them, I'll talk to you.
Obedience to all of the commandments is essential, because
I came to talk to these guys.
Any single one of the commandments that we break, without the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, it would prevent us from living with God someday.
If you live in willful sin, even when you live in sin,
every
you live like the culture, you're in
every
sin.
Every single commandment is essential.
I'll talk to you when I'm done talking to these guys. Right?
Okay.
Yeah, I'll talk to you when I'm done talking.
I don't know if I have time, but
if you don't have time, you don't have time. Here, you want a card? You can call me sometime.
Yeah, great.
Call me. So when you said essential, I have a little bit of an issue with that. What would be not essential that's taught in the New Testament?
Well, I would say the teachings in the New Testament are all essential.
Okay. So what's non-essential? You said essentials and non-essential.
Think about it.
Words are important. These are going to be judged by every word.
Sure.
So
sure.
That
maybe sins of commission versus sins of omission.
I would say something like that, like judging everybody so harshly and not having like mercy in my heart. You know,
right.
It's like to love mercy, do justly, walk humbly with the Lord thy God. Right. Right?
So
these are what he wants.
Yeah. So hold on though. Does the Bible tell us to judge the believers that are in the body of Christ?
Yes.
So if someone claims Jesus and says I'm born again and they're a follower, they now fall under the scriptures, and they're to be tested first and judged by the word of God. 1 Corinthians 5 tells us to judge. In Matthew 18, okay. Jesus, the loving Lord and Savior, said, if a brother's in sin, go to him one-on-one.
Sure.
If he won't repent, go to him with another brother, two or three. If he won't repent, go to the body. And then Jesus, in his loving kindness, said, and if he won't repent, just hang out with him. Eventually he'll get it. Jesus said, put him out like a publican. So we are to judge the body of Christ.
Among sin.
Not the
sin.
World, Yes, we're to judge the body of Christ.
Not, I'm not contradicting the fact that, like, in sin, okay. I agree but with you.
But how we talk, how we act, how we dress, how we live is a matter of sin or holiness.
Yes, well, and so, I mean, you're looking at me like I would agree, yeah. Right? So, in a sense, but I don't want to put that on somebody else. I'm not going to be their judge, right? I don't have to judge everybody. I can just be encouraging them, you know?
But if you see,
them.
But James 5 says, if you see a brother in sin, you're to pull him from that sin to save a soul from death. If you don't judge him
that's
and say
sin.
You need to leave that
I'm
sin.
Talking sin, but I think you're categorizing certain things too tightly. You're shutting up the kingdom in your mind.
So if people were a Christian and yes. They dress worldly and show their form off, do you think that's sin?
I would say that's, yeah.
Would you judge that and tell someone you need to repent of that? How about if a man talked like a sailor?
Sure.
Would that be sin?
I would say.
So I don't understand what you're saying. The judgment comes to the house of God, Peter says, not the world.
I would just say it seems like you're just trying to find contention with me. There's no contention.
I'm trying to find out who you are.
Yeah. I mean, all you could do is ask. I could give you some doctrine.
But you said essential, non-essential. So you basically said something that wasn't true, and I asked you what it meant. You said, well, I don't, there isn't nothing essential, non-essential.
Your tone is defeating the purpose of what you're trying to accomplish. Let me encourage you, and the list that will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, that amongst it is contention and strife. Right. Will not inherit
the kingdom of heaven. Which verse says that?
That would be in Galatians 5, the works of the flesh, right there.
Yep.
What is it, a 20 or 19?
So what if you didn't know the answer?
Context,
what if you didn't know the answer to that
in
question?
Context,
what if you didn't know the answer to that question?
I told you, I'll talk to you when I'm done talking
but
to him.
What if you didn't know the answer
about,
to that question?
What about this now? Are
what
you,
if you didn't
you
know
born
the answer to that question?
Are you claiming to be born again Christian?
I don't know how you define that, but I would say 100% yes.
Okay, so then
what
you shouldn't be in your flesh so much.
What if you didn't know the answer
to that
question?
Shouldn't be in your flesh so much.
What if you didn't know the answer to that question?
You're fleshly and in your face.
What if you didn't know the answer to that question? You would judge him and think that he was less.
Yep.
You were condescending earlier in your tone to him when you said, "Yeah, when you said, oh, I've got you're young, I've got years on." You did.
I said I'm older than you, and I've seen the culture change.
So what you're saying?
Don't put words in my mouth. Don't put words in my mouth.
That's exactly what you're saying.